If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
You are listening to Witch Police Radio, and I am, as always, your host, Sam Thompson. No, I am not. I'm just kidding. My name is Stiff Wiggle. and I will be guest hosting an episode for Sam while he takes a little bit of time away. He's been doing this show tirelessly for years and years and years, covering the nooks and crannies of Winnipeg's music scene. And he's handed over the mic to some of his buddies to help lighten the load. So I am here interviewing a band that I particularly enjoy, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to talk to them about their upcoming release and their plans for the future. As is traditional, why don't I hand it over to you fellas and have you introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you do.
We are Wonder, which is spelled with two V's, V-V-O-N-D-E-R. That's always my big prerogative, is making sure people know how to spell
Google ability is important.
That's right.
Yeah, my name's Micah, and this is Joey. He plays bass, and I play bass, but not as much.
We're both bass. We're both just a couple of bass players.
Yeah, and originally we wanted the band to have two bass players and a triangle player, but
that would sound nice.
But everybody thought that was just, there wasn't enough mids if you were doing it that way. So we had to fill out the mids. So I begrudgingly picked up the guitar again.
It's a tradition and it works for a reason. And why don't we pay a little lip service to the fellows that aren't here. There's a trianglist, as you mentioned. No.
Yeah.
who are the Wanderer, the Wanderinos that are playing the homers?
We got Steve Martins, not Steve Martin. Funny enough, Steve Martins has a cousin named Chris Martins.
No.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And I didn't
know
that.
So it's like a pseudo famous family of fakers. That's fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And then Nate Jacobucci is the keyboard player. We all sing.
That's great. And that's actually kind of, I guess, a pretty key element of your sound. What would you do? This is probably every artist's least favorite question, but how would you describe the style of music that you make if you had to? And you do have to, because I'm asking. So
I always tell people it's just like really 60s and 70s inspired pop rock, but like with a modern twist. I know that sounds kind of cheesy. And
I just always, accurate. I just like to say it's rock and roll, baby.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is just rock and roll.
And I mean, that says nothing, but it also says everything. If you were to listen to the group, and I insist that you do, that's what you'll get. You know, you're going to hear the sounds of the 60s and 70s with sort of a, you know, refracted with a modern sensibility. And I guess maybe over the next little while, we'll try and elucidate what that means, or maybe we won't. When it comes to the four of you, you all lend your voices to the band. Do you all have a creative influence? Or is this the Micah and Joey show? Or what's the story here?
It's basically just the Micah show. It was the Micah show for the longest time. Okay. And then since the rest of us have joined, it's certainly become like the everybody show.
Yeah.
But I mean, he still does most of the songwriting. So.
Everybody's brought some ideas in for this new record. So
do you all sit at home listening to the same records at the same time? Like tonight is Blonde on Blonde for everyone? Or do you have your own musical tastes? Or how does this work?
That's a good idea. Yeah. But no, I think I try not to like chase it too much. Just certain things come come along when they come along. So yeah, I've been really enjoying Randy Newman lately.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I think that comes out in the music. There's like, you know, certain chord changes and just, you know, harmonic figures that you use that really sort of plant things sonically back in that golden era, you know.
Yeah, and when you and Nate have conversation, like you're not like literally listening to the same record at the same time, but you guys, I'm always impressed with how in tune you are with like whatever Paul McCartney's up to right now, or whatever, Randy Newman's up to, or Brian Wilson. Like you guys, the two of you at least, like really seem in tune with like what's happening with those kind of older guys as they mature and continue making music.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really like that smile thing that Brian Wilson did in 2004.
Did you see them when he came to town with his band of, you know, Hired Guns?
And yeah.
That was really
good.
That was a pretty special night. I was pretty, you know, yeah. It seemed to arrive without much fanfare. You know, I don't think it was sold out. Right. It wasn't.
Where did he play?
The Pantages or the concert?
Pantages.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And actually, somebody gave me some kind of merch thing that was, I don't even know what it was, but Jeff from the Sound Exchange gave me $20 for this thing. And then we went to, me and my buddy went to Johnny G's after.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
This is a primo Witch Police material, by the way, these, you know, obscure retro Winnipeg references that will make some 60-year-old, you know, sit upright in his Eames lounger, you know.
Sound Exchange was my favorite place for a long time.
That shopping at that store was a unique experience, you know. It was you were never really left alone, right? You were, you know, there, you had little, you know, the peanut gallery, that is to say, Jeff would always say, have comments to say about whatever it was you decided to pick up. And if you had the misfortune of picking up a Monkees record, he would, you know, kind of, that would launch him on, you know, if things would become incomprehensible before long. But the way that the records were laid out in stacks beneath piles, and you know, I found the Emmett Rhodes album, it's so good, right? You know, I figured you would know, that's the sort of place where you could find that thing, right? You know, and it's like,
yeah,
and where the records that, you know, yeah, that sold 20 copies back in the 70s, but people now speak about in hushed tones, you know, dorks that look like me, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I just clued in. I didn't realize what the Sound Exchange was until 2 minutes ago when you guys were talking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, sure enough. So that place on Langside and Portage, or
thank you. Yes.
Furby and Portage.
Yes. Yeah.
Joey is the surrogate audience member who's sitting in for all of the listeners at home who are, you know, who don't have all the hip background knowledge that we have here.
It's
playing an important role here.
But I absolutely, but now, as soon as you mentioned, this guy would just like talk your ear off for 40 minutes. That's exactly what happened when the one time I went. I was in there a couple times, but one of the times he just talked to me, it was just me and him for like an hour talking about music.
Yeah. If you hit the same wavelength, it would be, you know, a kind of a special experience. But if you weren't, if you happen to be on a different vibe, then it could be a pretty alienating, you know, sort of trip. But there was nothing like it. And, you know, there's nothing like it anymore now that it's gone. Right. So
it's still sitting there. I don't know what's going.
Yeah.
It's probably still filled with all those records.
Yeah. If anything's haunted in Winnipeg, it's probably that giant, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I went by there and it looked like the printer was still functioning. And I think maybe the ghost of Jefferson is in that printer.
Did he pass away?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Well,
but the printer still works.
I think his ghost of Jefferson lives in the printer. That's my theory.
Dinner at Eddie's with Julie and Kate. Master of the conversation, eyes upon an empty plate. Pictures in clear view, I can relay. Just found the courage a moment too late. I'm the invisible.
So like I was trying to allude to, I don't think I got a straight answer out of you folks. Do you all have different influences? What you are listening to different styles of music in your, like, or are you all sort of Randy Newman fans? Like, I presume that that's never the case. You know, every band is, you know, which of you is the death metal one? There's always one into death metal, right?
Yeah, like I'm actually into
there. You go. Metal. So it's you. Okay. So,
or is it more?
Which is the
metal? You
know, is it the black metal one? The same one, well, as the death metal one? Are they different people? You know,
I think I'm becoming more and more reserved about saying that I'm a black metal fan.
Boy, it's cool, man.
No, apparently some people think it's really creepy to be into black metal, which I kind of always knew, but now it's just like some social media groups that I'm part of are alluding to the fact that it's really, and not that you should base your tastes on what other people think, but
right.
I don't know. Yes, I love black metal. I can't get enough of it. It's so atmospheric and creepy and like raw sounding.
And then the follow-up question is that, you know, this doesn't necessarily make its way into the Wonder Gumbo.
No.
Right.
It definitely, I played another band called Trampoline.
Right, yes. And you folks are phenomenal.
And
I actually recommended.
Oh, thank you.
My partner is a fan of this band called The Laps. Have you ever heard of The Laps?
I don't think so.
Ted Leo's brother, Christopher Leo, and Toko Yasuda, who used to play bass in Enon, and she played with Blood Redhead for like 5 minutes, and it's they make this really dense, abstruse music with very, you know, lyrical, illiterate, sort of, you know, ranting's not the word I want to use, but you know, on top of it, and it kind of just really struck me. It's very similar to Trampoline. Not that this isn't an interview with Trampoline, but anyone out there who enjoyed at all what I sounded like I was describing there, that kind of almost describes both of those groups. So
I was just gonna say, like, Trampoline did incorporate, because like Michelle really liked that I liked metal,
right.
So we actually incorporated some like blast beats and stuff into our music, but for Wonder is such a, it doesn't, it just is a different thing. Like, we're more concentrated on just like rock and roll and like good harmonies and like wicked song structures and stuff. Like, it just wouldn't lend itself to,
and
this.
Steve is in Trampoline as well, right? Yep. And yeah, he gets he gets to do his blast beats, and you get to do your metal outlet out that way. And so you don't have to tarnish this band with those influences.
Tarnish.
I mean, tarnish, I just,
I said varnish. I meant varnish, not tarnish. Sorry.
I like the idea of just playing what's right for the song, and I'm sure that in some way some of that has inspired you,
possibly
in some very minor way, but like,
yeah, possibly, you know? Possibly.
And I think that's important. I think that there are a lot of retro-minded groups out there who have this sort of, you know, slavish attitude to what they're doing, where it's almost like if you're introducing something new to it, you're doing something wrong, you know. I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but I think it's almost is it a natural thing for you to blend? I'm sure it is. This is just a dumb question that interviewers would ask. Is it natural for you to blend your the historical influences, your Randy Newman stuff, with your whatever modern listening that you do today? Or do you have to kind of shoehorn them together? Does it just naturally occur? Because it does occur. Like, you know, like what's Nothing Really Ever Matters, is that the name of the song? Nothing Really Matters. That song has a very, that song, you know, has a pretty, you know, I couldn't place it in any decade specifically, you know.
I liked what you said there, because it just going too far in either direction, right? Like, if we were to go too far in the direction of saying, well, you know, we want to make sure that this is accessible and it has to conform to what's happening now, then I think that would be a disservice. But if we were to also say, well, we need to honor the time honored, sorry, we need to honor the traditions of the Beatles and the Stones and the Kinks and, you know, whatever, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, we have to stick in that place because that's the real stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going too far in that direction as well. And they're both ego driven and doing a disservice to the natural creation, which if you just kind of shut up and let it take precedence, it will.
And are you getting better as time goes on with silencing the critic, or is that as an artist myself, I have to tell that voice that's always asking, is it good enough? Is this you know, is this what I want to be saying? It's if I have to shut that up while I'm creating, and then I have to, you know, So
yeah, for sure. Over time, it is getting easier, especially playing with these guys. Like they're so good, and there's just like I think there's hopefully a level of trust that we're all just gonna do the right thing. And if somebody has a suggestion, if it's the right suggestion, we go with it. If it's not, that's okay. Nobody's feelings are
this
hurt.
Leads to my next question, actually, not to interrupt and not to pump his tires intentionally or anything, but Steve is a phenomenal drummer. What does it mean to you folks having such a shit hot drummer?
I've been playing with Steve for so long, I think I take for granted what a great drummer.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he's got this like Jimmy Chamberlain-esque lyrical way of playing the drums, where it's like, you know, like every, you know, fill is like almost like a sentence, you know. I don't know, it's
every once in a while there'll be like when we've been doing a lot of recording, and there's a couple fills that kind of just, like, I love it when a fill almost goes out of time a little bit and then just comes back. And he has a few of those, and he'll be like, oh, I don't know about that. And I'll be like, dude, it's cool, man.
I see.
Yeah. Are you recording to click tracks when you record and doing it all the modern sort of way? Or do you?
Some of them we've had just Steve on the click. Some of them we've had all of us on a click. At some point it would be fun to try no click, but
yeah, I like the recording process of having the drummer on a click for sure. But then as far as I'm concerned, I don't need to have it. If he's got it,
yeah,
then I don't need it. Like I'm playing with his hi-hat. Yeah.
I just like the idea of being like being in time, but also having a little bit of ebb and flow and not not quantizing everything.
Quantize?
We haven't quantized anything yet.
Nothing? Oh, no. Cool.
I mean, there've been a couple of times when I've, you nudge something here and there.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I think I've done that so far on this record. I think I did that once with a vocal.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
On then,
because I would have figured like the bass player
on this new record that we're
this new record.
On.
Oh, this is an opportunity for a segue. A new record. Oh my god!
On the first one, we did that with one of the drum fills in one of the songs because it just needed a little nudge. But yeah, for the most part, I think it's cool when it's just that little bit of loose but still tight. I think it can. I think the band speaks to each other more.
Yeah. And then something I forget, sorry, you can do your segue in just a second.
Thank you.
Something I always forget how we'll do the bed tracks. Like we'll record the bed tracks, like the four of us just playing live.
Yeah.
And it might not sound perfect, but then when you start layering things on top of those bed tracks,
yeah,
it all starts to meld together in such a beautiful way. And I guess I just need to do a better job reminding myself that it is going to get there, even if the bed tracks weren't like the perfect tape.
Trust the process, right? Yeah.
Trust the process. There's always that inevitable moment where, like last week I was recording a bunch of guitars and I did the same thing over and over and over. And then I realized, oh, this part does not need to be in the song. Mm-hmm. It's driving me crazy because it doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
So you throw it out and then you're okay.
Gray smoke is blocking out the light of day. Tell myself I'm immune, it'll work out as it should. But the window of vision slowly closing up for good.
your last full length Now and Again has been out there, you know, percolating for some time. It's it makes up, I guess, the bulk of your, you know, charming live sets. But there's something new coming around the corner. Tell us a bit about what that is.
Well, we don't have a name for the album yet. And putting it out there, if anybody has any ideas, we may not use them, but, you know, it's a way to get a conversation started.
I thought you were set on... It was something embarrassing, something dumb, but I thought you really liked
it. Oh, I like that. You can call it something embarrassing, something dumb. New album by Wonder.
We have a single coming out July 12th. And then, you know, if this airs after that, then play it. If it doesn't, find it when it comes out.
So how things evolved in the last, Now and Again came out when?
Like November 22.
Mm-hmm. So mid-pandemic. And here we are, 2024, mid-pandemic, and the next album's coming out.
Do you consider us still a mid-pandemic?
No, I'm just... That was dry humor. Or okay. wet humor.
Some people do.
Yeah, I know. I'm not... Well, I will leave that uncomfortably hanging in the air, and I'll let the listeners, you know, decide.
Okay. Nice, I like that.
There you go.
No opinion.
I don't want to... Yeah, who likes to take a stance on anything? It's 2024.
Apathy is the real vibe.
This is not a political podcast, folks. So the new music is it more of the same, or is there anything any new tools in the box that have any new fantastic musical instruments been invented in the last 2 years that have revolutionized your process? I don't think so. So how do you make the new record? How does it justify its existence besides being more new songs?
I don't know.
I think the natural progression for me, at least, is to slowly let go of things that aren't important. When I was young, I thought if I had a lot of chords in a song, you know, that made it good. At one point I thought, oh, the lyrics have to be really deep. At one point I thought, it needs to be this, it needs to be that. The longer we go along, the less I start focusing on these things that it needs to be or it doesn't need to be, and just let it be what it is.
This is talking about that inner critic I was mentioning about 5-6 minutes ago. Yeah, and it's how I have to turn it off if I'm creating, and by doing so, you're more productive, and the stuff you do produce is so much less fussy, right? You know, because that does happen. That is a tendency of this, you know, this retro minded music. It is still sometimes a little bit too manicured. It comes out a little too Paul McCartney and not John Lennon enough, you know. So, you know, right. Yeah. So fighting that tendency is probably beneficial to the quality of the music. So that, you know, that makes me enthusiastic to listen to the new stuff, because, you know, the major failing of this type of music, not yours in particular, is that it can be a little precious, right? You know, and so that's, you know, that wears thin. But Wonder, I've always found them there, and especially it's really sarcastic, sardonic, you know, angry, bitter stuff, and the music is really nice and pretty, and we've had that tasty flavor combination for a good, you know, 40 years, and it's stuck around for a reason. It makes for really compelling listening, right? You know, you just fall in love with the sound of the music, and then you realize what it's about, and then it breaks your bloody heart. You know, it's good. I love your stuff.
But also I would say, like, yeah, there's just like an inner compulsion. This is nothing groundbreaking, but yeah, when you're a songwriter or a creator, like, yeah, you just, it would be silly to just be like, well, we did one record, that's good enough. Like, there's always a compulsion to keep creating.
Absolutely.
And like, when these songs come to you, it's not like you're even thinking of in terms of like, we need to have like 12 songs right out of the gate to do a record. Like, the songs just kind of come gradually. Mm-hmm. And there's always a reason for them in the moment. You're always trying to express yourself as best as you can. And I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a reason why artists have like, some artists have like really long discographies.
Right.
You'd think that they might, you'd think maybe they got everything out of their system within the first three records, but no, it's just, if you're that kind of person, you're always going to keep creating.
And I think maybe now we take our inevitable turn towards Winnipeg and what makes this city kind of an interesting place for music to be made in. One thing that I find characteristic about our music scene is the incestuous nature of it, how everyone, like you, you're in multiple bands, and Micah, you have played in a number of acts over the years, and right, so in many artist situations, they get one shot, one project that sort of defines them throughout their career. But in Winnipeg, as an artist, you know, you're going to have all these different hats that you wear through your career. You have these hats that you wear throughout your career. And so you don't have to say it all in one project. So not to say that Wonder has had its day, but to say that once you folks have said all you have to say, you're going to be still making music together, maybe not together though, but in different projects. That's kind of just the Winnipeg way, right? You know, so, you know, it's good to see you folks together because it says that you folks have more to say. I feel like in Winnipeg, you folks wouldn't keep playing together if there wasn't still excitement when you gathered in the room and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, of course artists are going to continue on to releasing, but you know, when things have reached their limit, I think in Winnipeg more so than other places, people will just say, well, okay, my side project is now the main project, and you know.
Wound up to explain myself. What good would that do anyway? I wake each day and say, I'm not going back there. I'd rather die. Contentedness is fleeting. I forgot to do the weeding. My mind is a garden that's getting dry. My words too toothless to take a bite. I tried to look on the bright side, but I can't see past my eyes. I wake each day and say,
I'm so.
This has been a wide-ranging and a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining me. I've been sitting with Micah and Joey from Wonder, and this is Stiff Wiggle sitting in for Sam Thompson on Witch Police Radio. There you go, folks. Well, thanks so much for listening. Tune in next time for more great conversations with more great Winnipeg musicians. And until then, stay out of trouble.
I bought you flowers, but that wasn't enough. I brought you sours and all your favorite stuff. I can see what's happening. Finally, it must be. I thought we were in love. I bought you flowers.
Bye, bye, baby. Don't say maybe this time is for good.
I did your laundry, even ironed your corduroys. I figured kindness.
Enough. We're no longer in love. We're no longer.